And welcome to a very special edition of Dual Pixels Radio. That's right, it's a special edition, and it's a spoiler cast, and this time we are talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. But first, we're going to start with introductions. I'm Jose.
And I'm Joey.
Yeah, we're just going to dive straight into it. I know we haven't podcasted in quite a while now. It's been a few months here, but we're bringing you this fresh spoiler cast here. And yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake. What's more to want? I guess I'll start. As yeah, always.
Kick us off, yeah.
As always. Let's start. So yes, my general impressions. Just wow, it's exactly what we expected it to be. Pretty much at, you know, once we saw it at E3 2015, I believe. Look, I'm like even forgetting the dates. That's how far back it was.
Yeah.
That this remake has been teased for the PS4.
It's been a while.
Yes, it's been quite a while on the PS3. You know, there was a tech demo of it, but then, you know, they revealed that it was going to come out on PS4. But yeah, this actual thing that was formed, this remake, actually came to fruition, and it looked great. Like, that's first thing, you know, off the bat. We're gonna go with graphics first thing off the bat. It looks great. It's runs great for the hardware. It runs great. I wish it was on PC sometimes. you know, just being in the PC world now with my new PC. But yeah, it definitely runs, looks great. And a lot of things have changed, but for the better, if that makes sense. You know, playing Final Fantasy VII not too long ago, I'm going to say I played it in the 2 year time span. Everything that it does, it pretty much captures just the nostalgic essence of Final Fantasy VII. And this is with the characters, the combat as well, just everything that you could expect from a remake, Square Enix has done. So that is great off the standpoint. Now, going into the story portion of the game, who would have imagined that you could make the first actual area of Final Fantasy VII into a 40-hour game? And I know, Joey, that I don't know if you played much of Final Fantasy VII recently, because you're coming into this like fresh almost, right?
Yeah, just I played Crisis Core.
Okay, so that's a great starting off point. At least you know the backstory to Zack.
Mm-hmm.
In that retrospect. Now, for me, the game definitely is long for not the obvious reasons. And I know you're going to kill me on this one, but I think the game because it took me about 40 hours to beat the game. I think the game could have done everything if it's done in like 30 hours or even 20 hours. Like, I feel like it should have been posted. Pretty much what we got should have been more. We should have got more into this one with what we got. And that's how I feel just about just the pacing with everything. Again, since this whole like portion of the game, you know, you're Midgar, you start off with Cloud, and again, everything is done cut by cut, and obviously there's some longer lasting sequences that are not in the past game, in the original. Not in the past game. This is a full-on remake. It's done to detail. That I can understand. It's definitely done to detail. The starting point where you started Midgar, going to Sector 7 and blowing up Sector 7, that part really gets you into the mood, into the whole nostalgic mood. The music there is amazing. The music everywhere in the game is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward. So that, I can't express how nostalgic this game is. Like, it's really something you would have to play, to be honest. But it does have some faults. Again, it's not major. I guess it's major if you play them together. That's where you could see some faults. But for a remake, it's a very good time for a remake. And for you, Joy, going into it in the sense of this is a new experience for you, what was your initial impression just before we dive into?
Just overall, I mean, I absolutely loved it. It looked really good most of the time. There were some weird places where the textures, it looked like they didn't load. And it was early PS3 quality a lot of times. When you did run into those, but when at times it was good, it was some of the best on PS4 right now.
Well, some of the best everywhere too.
It looked really, really good, especially the characters. Like they kind of stood out, especially.
It almost looked CG.
There were parts where you question it, you know?
Yeah, with the lighting and the HDR. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely. Yeah. Any place in Midgar that had a sunrise or a sunset, the lighting was beautiful and really showcased. If this had a bit of extra oomph,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the PS4 itself, the actual system. If it had that extra oomph, it definitely, you could mistake it for pre-rendered CGI.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of what sucks is that those parts that were bad, it made those parts look even worse.
Yeah, there were
weird
jarring.
Low quality texture. It really was. But other than that, I thought the story was confusing, but it tied up a lot toward the end.
Really? What parts of the story? Really? So we could touch base on that because
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
Brief overview, still. The one thing I didn't like, and I don't know how it was in the original. But the summons felt super weak. I remember, especially in, Final Fantasy, 10 and 12, those were, big moments. And here, they're just kind of, doing their thing, you know? Because it's not turn-based like in 10, the remake isn't. You don't have that feeling that they're actually, contributing, you know?
Well, in the original, the summons just came out and did one ultra move, so... Mm. You know, there's a different balance with that because here they're pretty much full on party members.
Mm.
So it's very striking. I get what you understand. They're not putting their full power into it.
Mm-hmm.
You would see in 10.
Yeah, especially because, 10.
Yeah. Well, 10, 7, you know, all the Final Fantasy games where summons weren't a full-on character. 10 was mm-hmm. The evolution. 10 was starting to get there.
Yeah.
So a full-on playable summon. But every other Final Fantasy before that, a summon just would go in and out and do an ultra move.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, 10 is when it really, you know, they started becoming their own playable characters in that sense. But even then, again, all the Final Fantasies are different. So, everyone knows that in terms of different systems, and you could level mm-hmm. the summons up and make their ultra moves stronger. But in this game, I felt the summons were. I know you say they were just doing their thing. It's more about balancing out with the summon do you need the summon there to actually like take damage for you?
That's what it usually was like, too.
Attack moves. Yeah, that's how I saw it. That's how I saw the combat in this.
It was essentially a tank. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tank. And you know, if I had to like revive someone real fast, it'll help me revive someone real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but a lot. Exactly. It had a lot of missed opportunities. And I agree with you, like they were just there. But the missed opportunity I linked that to is that to do a summons move, you had to use a pretty much a turn-based bar to actually like do a move. But at the end of the summon timer, they do their ultra move.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, those regular moves that you could do, they're all governed by how the combat works. So that's where it felt off for me. I'd rather just take the ultra attack and, you know, just one ultra attack and let them like let loose.
Yeah.
Because I definitely would have made it quicker just based on the combat system. Yeah. And,
I mean, outside of that, just like overall, like I didn't really like the combat system early on, but the more like material you got, it got so much better. I still think it was kind of a mistake that they didn't really explain how much like intricacies there are with the materia once you get more interesting materia. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, this lets you cast, you know, fire. It's like, okay. But then once you get like, you know, 7-8 materia per character, like there's a lot of interesting things you can do, you know?
Yeah, it should have explained it a bit more. It definitely, again, it's something where for the next game, like this is, it kind of gets confusing because Final Fantasy VII Remake is in parts. This whole first part is in Midgar.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next game, you know, you leveling up all this material, how they're going to continue that system.
We'll talk about that at the end because I have a bunch of thoughts on that one.
we'll get closer to
that. That could be an entire podcast by itself.
Yeah. But just in general for that, because that ties into pretty much how you would use materia.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much ties into it as it's not fully explained.
Yeah,
like you said, some things are not fully explained. And there's a lot of materia that you really don't need. But there's some good ones that, you know, when you link up a certain like elemental, you could do area of effect ones.
You know how long it took me to figure out that you could magnify like healing on yourself?
Oh yeah. You see like that stuff should have been explained
probably
more.
Like 10 hours in, I was like, wait a second. Can't I use this on myself? Yes, you can.
And you see, and the crazy thing is for new players, you know, that's the stuff that actually like gets you, like those things.
Yeah.
For people who've played the game, like they know that specific, you know, that materia. They should have at least, honestly, they should have renamed some of the materias.
That would help.
Yeah, they should have renamed some of them. They actually should have added some based on the game system as well. And this is with the magnifying stuff. They should have added the Agus to do area of effects because that's what they were in 10, like more recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not major, but I can see that for
slight tweaks. Yeah.
Yeah. For new players, you know, those tweaks would have been good there. And, you know, just going back, just to the overall impression, and then, you know, with materia stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, I guess we're just going just straight into it here because we're talking about materia.
Do it.
The combat. Yep. Let's just go like pretty much just all in on the combat now that we talked about materia.
Yeah.
And this is actually one of the, for me, Final Fantasy VII Remake is actually one of the better combat systems out of all the Final Fantasy games. And I'm going to say even some Kingdom Hearts games.
Hmm. What do you think was, why do you think it was so good?
I think it was good because it, it was there's enough strategy there that it doesn't feel like too much of a hassle. Like it's proportionate, it's balanced. You could create some great looking moves and combos with like Tifa, with how the combat system works. With Cloud, you could do some impressive stuff with how everything works. It has the right combination of action and tactical strategy. I would say that it's not perfect, but it can be perfect. Like it's well on its way to be one of the greatest combat systems in an RPG.
Yeah, and the reason I enjoyed it a lot too.
Yeah, and the reason why I say it could be like the one of the greatest, there's a few things that actually like throw it off in balance. Like I said, it's pretty balanced on what it is, but there's the things that could take it to the next level, and that is the way when you switch characters. So when you switch characters, like you could, a matter of fact, when you use a character, you could use their your teammates' abilities. When you have a selected character, you could use your teammates' abilities by hitting R2 and popping up their menu. I believe it's R2. I'm like trying to recall it here. You just hit a press of a button and you could call in your teammates' abilities. And you're able to choose a teammate's abilities once they have their one of their active time bars full.
Yep.
Now, in between that time, my whole issue is that that's nice that they let you control it, but there's sometimes in the game that it requires you to juggle way too much, and it's not. And that's where the combat falls apart, when it requires you to juggle way too much. You don't even have that much active time bars. Like sometimes it's madness. Sometimes it's just pure madness. And this is because of the enemies on the actual screen. One way I think that they could alleviate that for you toggling to different characters' abilities would be putting back the Gambit system from Final Fantasy 12. And the game has materia that is almost like a Gambit, where it has a materia where you could have the teammate cast Cure 3 times for you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the game needs just a Gambit, full-on Gambit system, and a Gambit system is pretty much predetermined actions that you could set for your teammates. So that way, like, you're pretty much your head is out of the way from thinking for those characters while you think with your character that you're playing with, and you could like perform some other stuff with your character. So there's not too much back and forth, and you would think, like, I know the reason why they would do that is so you could play with the other characters as well, so you could like switch up. Switch abilities, etc., etc. But I feel like that's like a hindrance in the combat system.
I think the main problem with all that is, like, I honestly don't think they should have allowed you to do somebody else's moves when you're controlling someone, only because when you're not controlling someone, they like don't gain ATB at all. Which exactly. Is like a huge problem. Like you said, exactly. It'd be perfect for a Gambit system. Or if they just made it clear that you weren't supposed to stick with one person the whole time. Like the whole idea is you do a bunch of attacks with one person, get your ATB gauge up, set a move, and then switch. You know what I mean? Do the same thing, switch. Do the same thing, switch. So you're supposed to constantly be switching. But they gave you the ability not to do that. But it's like a hindrance in a way. It's one of those weird times where, like, more options was actually less because it wasn't effective.
Exactly. And the ATB gauge, that should be...
I mean, they didn't gain, like, anything when you didn't use them.
Well, yeah, they don't gain anything when you don't use them. And also, it should be faster. Like, like you said, they don't gain anything, but your character, like, there should be a system there where everybody gains it in a certain specific order or way, even if they get hit. Because I know when they get hit, they don't gain any at all. Maybe that would be the, you know, that would be the adjustment to it, where your character gets hit. Your character actually doesn't, your other teammates don't attack that much either. They don't use their moves. You have to do all their moves for them.
Yeah, which is why I think they should have made it more apparent that, like, you're supposed to be switching. You know what I mean? Yeah. This isn't like a character action game, you know? It's literally still an RPG to switch characters.
Like, it can be both. You know, with those changes, it can be both.
It can be, but that I think that's where they got in trouble, is they wanted it to be both, but they didn't flesh out both. You know, they fleshed out one, but gave the option of another, you know?
Yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve of the game. But, yeah. Well, no. That's not my biggest. That's my
biggest for the battle system.
yeah. Biggest for the battle system. Yes, because there's literally, like, great moments in the game.
Yeah. The one thing I didn't like about the battle system actually was, for whatever reason, the same button to turn the camera was to change who you're locked onto. Stupid.
Yeah, you see, like, it's things like that. Sense. Yeah.
I mean, you could change it so it wasn't like that, so it was an issue, but that's how it is off the bat. It makes no sense, because obviously you want to see what's going on, so you're going to turn the right stick, but then that changes who you're targeting.
Yeah, it's things like that. It's like those small things, like, they have it, like, they got it.
Yeah, for sure. But they got the meat of it.
Yeah, they got the meat of it, but those small things are apparent.
Quality of life changes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, those small things are very apparent when you have it so good.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's my biggest, like, pet peeve with the battle system, because
that's a pretty easy pet peeve for them to fix too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is good. Which is good.
Yeah, because the combat, like, it to me it felt what Kingdom Hearts. Like, it's something, Kingdom Hearts is its own thing, but, like, this is, like, a combination of Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts together, and it's actually great. It's, like, one of the best battle systems I played in a while, and I loved Kingdom Hearts 3 and Birth by Sleep. I love those battle systems, but this is better because, again, it's still strategic in a sense. You're not...
Yeah.
You know, you're not willy-nilly, you know, pressing buttons. You're thinking about it a bit. Even when you're with, you know, a single character, you're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
But you're not, it's not easy. Like, it's not easy. And you're still thinking about things. And everything that you do feels great. Like,
yeah,
you
know, it again, feels good. And it looks good, too.
Yeah, comboing with Tifa, like, into... other combos with Cloud, like, it looks good, it animates good, it's...
Again, the animations actually look really good.
Yeah, it actually could be CGI, like, just a bit more oomph into it.
Yeah,
it
for sure.
Literally could be CGI, and there's moments, like, later in the game where it does look like straight-up CGI, and that's the Sephiroth fight. That's, like, later in the game. But yeah, the combat system, again, that's... I'm not even going to rip it that much, but again, the smallest things...
quality of life changes, yeah.
Yeah, the smallest things in such a great package do stand out. So yeah, it's that's definitely just awesome, the battle system.
Let's go a little different this way. Let's go what your least liked chapter was, and then we'll go favorite after.
Oh, no.
Let's just jump right into the chapters.
Oh, no.
Least liked chapter.
Chapter 17.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that one, honestly. Yeah. Chapter 17. Lot of people will agree.
Oh, my God. Being in Shinra's headquarters, oh, my God.
Yeah.
The lab.
There just wasn't a lot going on, and then it's just boss fight, boss fight, boss fight, boss fight, you know?
Well... Here's the thing. Here's my whole thing with Chapter 17. Chapter 17 shouldn't have existed. There, it just shouldn't have been there. There shouldn't have been anything there. in chapter 17. In the original game, not much happens there. Like, it's straight up to the fucking top, and that's it. So, yeah, it's kind of, to me, you know, we're talking about this just in remake, but status, because this is almost like a requel? Is that the term?
Yes, I don't think so, but requel. Go for it.
Yeah. It's like a requel. So I'm just going to compare it to just itself, because we know this is a requel. This is a complete remake. This is for a new audience. So I'm just going to compare it to itself. I am going to be paraphrasing some older stuff, but yeah, chapter 17 should not have existed. Boss fight after boss fight, the difficulty change ever so slightly. And this is where Cloud, the whole chapter 17 part where you were split up with Cloud and Barrett, and then Tifa and Aerith, you would switch up into them, and Red 13 was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, was the worst chapter of any game I played this generation. It literally went on for no reason. And that's when I officially thought the game should have been 10 hours less. Because the padding there, like, that shouldn't have existed.
Like, I don't mind the padding per se, just like that sequence, it wasn't interesting. Because I mean, there was a lot of padding in like chapter 9, like in Wall Market, but like it was interesting. You know, this is just a boring, like, lab setting. Well, you're pulling those things out to hop across them, you know? It's like, it's just boring.
Well, it was boring, and also, like, the environment was boring.
Yeah, I think that's two, what did a lot of it for me, the environment.
Yeah, two, Red 13 just got introduced, and, The thing with that is that he wasn't even a playable character. So, like, he wasn't even a playable character. He got introduced, and he would flip-flop with Cloud and Barrett or Tifa and Aerith. And even then, the only thing that he was actually doing was popping cures. Yeah. So it was kind of one-sided, too, because if you didn't have characters leveled up a specific way, the difficulty was crazy. And the one part I'm going to mention is when you switch, you go to third ward with Tifa and Aerith in that chapter. And the first, one of the first fights that you do is with like 7 to 10 Hellhounds. And those were insane.
Yeah.
Those were insane. Like, the difficulty jumped for no reason. And these are like normal Hellhounds.
I think the problem is it was so like materia focused, you know, like if you didn't have the right materia suited up, which you just had to randomly guess, you were pretty much screwed.
Yeah. That was such a misstep. I thought to myself, I was like, wait, what is this? Like, did they really like put this part into the game? Like, were they thinking of how they like formulated this part? Because like you mentioned, it's very material based. How would we know, like, beforehand
that you need lightning or fire, whatever?
How would we know beforehand that you would need those materials? And on top of that, again, if you didn't have Aerith leveled up or Tifa leveled up to a certain degree, you were fucked.
Yeah, for sure.
And it had a lot to do with materia and weapon based too. So then you were fucked.
But what I didn't really like either was, like, whatever the lightning snake thing was.
The
second part of that boss battle where you're on that tiny circular area with Tifa and Aerith.
Yeah.
You just get hit by the thing. There's nowhere to go. Like, it's just
rolling. Yeah, it was just rolling around. Yeah, it was... Yeah, that was
like
insane.
The first half makes sense because you're in like the warehouse area. You know, there's space to move around, to maneuver. This one, it just goes around in a circle. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this was it. And again, this was the worst chapter just for far too many things in the game, just in general. But this part could have been like solved. It could have been a little better if after you got Cloud and Barrett to the third ward and you fought that first half of that boss, it would have ended there.
Yeah, I mean, just like chop the thing in half and it's a lot better.
Yeah, it's definitely just wow. Just like I was just blown away with like the step back in game design there. It was ridiculous. It was absurd with how everything was calculated.
Yeah, again, it's like they wanted to slow down the moment, you know, but they just slowed it down way too much.
Yeah, it definitely not my favorite part. Just not my favorite part at all. I mean, after that, you get to fight Genova. So that was dope.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of outside of the lightning snake thing, I have no idea what the name is. You might remember, I don't. Outside of that, I like the other boss fights. I thought they were pretty cool, but it was just so slow.
It was just like
you knew you were just jumping across things or, you know, completing very easy puzzles to get to the next boss. That was literally it. So
yeah, they didn't. Yeah, that was my least favorite part. And that part, what made it worse, again, everything that went on in that chapter with the switching of the characters, the materia, not having the correct materia or being
having no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Being materia focused is that this was at the end of the game. Like how. Yeah. Again, this chapter right here made me rethink this whole game in general, that it should have been 10 hours less.
I mean, that's a good point, because like if that slow pace was earlier on, it might not have been a big deal because you'd have more to discuss with the characters, you know? You can get more into the characters. But we already knew about each one so much the past 30 hours or 35 hours, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't need to slow down, you know, 35 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah, it should have been slow in chapter 9. That's where, you know, and it was, chapter 9 was slow. Don't get me wrong, but.
But chapter 9 was really good.
Well, if you're thinking about chapter 9 Wall Market, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking about the chapter, like, right before, which is chapter 8, because they blend well. So that's one thing I give it, that they blend well. going into each scene, like they blend well. Yeah. Because sometimes it felt like it was going faster than usual. But again, there's moments in the game where I just found like the padding was too much.
Yeah. Real quick though, like my least liked chapter, in addition to that one, chapter 11. That chapter didn't make any sense. I have no idea what was going on in that chapter. You're rescuing ghosts from a train yard, I guess.
Well, that was in the original somewhat. There's
explain,
a lot of,
please.
Well, there's a lot of freedoms done there. There's a lot of padding there as well. So it's mostly padding there.
Yeah, it just feels like a big slowdown of everything that's went on previously. And it's like, oh, hey, you know, go save this ghost in a train yard for whatever reason, I guess. I did like the boss fight, though. I thought it was actually pretty cool. Elagor. But, and I don't know if I'd even mind it as much as if I... Maybe I just was playing through it too quickly or something, but I just have no idea why they were doing any of that.
Well, in the original, you do go through the train graveyard.
So why are we rescuing a ghost again?
Again, it's kind of, what do you call it?
Nobody knows.
it's one of those moments, it's more liberties.
Yeah.
So it's just more liberties and more, it's more, a lot more padding to it as well. So, yeah.
I say enough of the bad ones. Let's go for your most liked chapter or two. We're done with that.
No, but yeah, it's just sad. It's just, just explaining like some of the stuff there, like it's definitely just more padding with some. Like, I didn't mind it. I did not mind any of it at all, to be honest. But yeah, it's my most liked chapter. Mm. Oh, definitely. I don't even remember the chapter's name, but I remember just Wall Market in general with the arena.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, right there, like, was gravy. That was good. That was just so dope. Seeing Wall Market there done up like that. And the arena. The arena was awesome as well because the arena was nostalgic. You know, when the characters won, when Cloud and Aerith won, they did their poses from Victory Seven, theme. The original. Yeah, yeah, the Victory theme. And yeah, so it for me, those moments were just awesome, seeing that play out. And seeing also just all the stuff with the Honeybee Inn.
Yeah. That was all Chapter 9. That's why it's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm like, wait, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Chapter 9. Another? Yeah.
Yeah. You see, they blend so well. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny that they blend so well for me that Chapter 17, I like it catch, like right there. Like, I know which one is Chapter 17 is so bad. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Chapter 9 was so good because it had all the battling stuff like you talked about. It had like the comedic stuff like the honeybee, all that sequence, Don Corneo, that whole section. It had a lot, but it was a lot of like really interesting and really diverse like sequences.
Yeah, the whole the dancing minigame, that was awesome. Yeah, that was like,
the minigame was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous for like it was done up in a way where it really felt like, you know, this was like a big budget like thing. Like, it was a celebration.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, I felt like it was a celebration of just nostalgic Final Fantasy. Like, you know, like, we could do this. Like, we don't care. Mm-hmm. We're just putting all this stuff in here, and
you're gonna like it.
Yeah, you're gonna like it. Yeah, pretty much. It was a celebration. And also, I really enjoyed the Hell House battle.
Yeah, that was actually a really fun battle.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people did not enjoy it. Just,
oh, really?
Going around the community. Yeah, a lot of people didn't enjoy it. They liked the idea of it. They loved the idea of it when they first saw it. I love the idea of it too, because how they integrated it, you know, into just the arena portion. Because, you know, this being a remake, there were certain things where you would think they wouldn't put in or they would tone down, but this made it in.
Yeah, they just went the other way.
Yeah, they put it in, and I really enjoyed the fight. Like, I really enjoyed the arena stuff. Everything just flowed perfectly. Like, you know, Aerith with Cloud, just their whole communication vibe with everything on how this whole arena thing was playing out, and they had to do all this just to get into Don Corneo's mansion. So it really like fleshed everything out for me. Hell House, like I mentioned, I enjoyed that fight. I was like prepared for it. Like, most of these fights, you have to be materia prepared, and I guess that's a downfall of the combat too.
So sure, yeah, sure,
that's striking another one there. But yeah, I was prepared for it. I enjoyed it. Like, I didn't like die like the first time, so I was like, it was gravy. I was taking it nice and slow. And it was just a fun fight.
Yeah, I feel like that fight is one of like the first ones where like you really have to pay attention, though. You know what I mean? Because that's the one I looked down for 1 second and looked back at like my phone. I don't know, you know, got a text message or something. Looked down, glanced up, and I was dead. And he was like, was down to like the tiniest sliver of health, and I just wasn't paying attention for like 1 second. Dead. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, and that's because of all the elementals and stuff like the Hell House has. So it was good. Like, those moments were just awesome. Again, that the dancing minigame was awesome.
Yeah.
Also, the gym minigames.
They were weird, but they were funny.
Yeah, they were
actually really funny.
They were all pretty interesting and dope. I really loved once Cloud got his makeover, how everybody everybody outside was commenting on him.
Yeah, it was so out. Funny.
Yeah, and I know the costumes change too with Aerith, yeah, depending on what you,
how many like side, yeah, missions you did previously, yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought like that whole just section just screamed, you know, like it just was like pure nostalgic energy out of somewhere. Mm-hmm. It would just scream that. It was like, wow, they really redid this great. Like, what else can you ask for?
Yeah. You have any other favorites or was that the main
Well, I have other favorite moments. I feel like the chapter right before this one, chapter 8, was actually one of my favorites. I know some people might contest this, but chapter 8 was good because in chapter 8, I believe, you see, again, the chapters blend so well.
Yeah.
But let me just mention it like this and not let me not go to chapters. The moment I'm talking about is when you go back to Aerith's town.
So this starts with the church, right? I think.
Yes. It starts with the church. Yes. And you start going back to Aerith's town. Mm-hmm. I love those moments. The reason. One, the church fight with Reno.
That was really good. Fun fight.
Yeah, it was a real good fight. It looked amazing.
It did.
Amazing. It looked like Advent Children. Like, it literally looked like Advent Children. And that fight was amazing. Again, fun fight. But the most craziest thing, again, a lot of people don't... What I've seen in the community, and this is just, like, random stuff I see, you know, spotted in the community about the 7 remake, was the... Just the slow parts with Aerith and Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were great. Like, it really, for me, it really cemented Aerith as the best character in this remake. Because those moments showed what type of person Aerith is, mm-hmm, you know, to the game. There was just some things where her characterization, just how she talked to Cloud, how she was brave, but she was still innocent, yeah, in that sense. Like, it's not like I never saw that in a video game, but it just felt so pure,
yeah,
to what her character, you know, was. Because before, you know, we used to read it in text with the original. But they just captured her so well, like the character's essence so well on what she, mm-hmm, meant to Cloud and how Cloud, like, I guess, changed over his pure opinion on things.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite moments, I guess, in a while in video games, where the character is so pure, so brave in that sense, and it actually made an impact on the main character. It's done so well. I just feel like it's done so well. Going back to her hometown, those talking segments. Made me a Aerith fan. Of, you know, there was the triangle, the triangle, Tifa, Aerith, and Cloud in the middle. I would choose Aerith easily. That to me, my favorite, because it showed more of her.
Yeah.
And what she meant to the overall story, because we all know what's going to happen. this is what, we all know what's going to happen here.
Right.
Everyone should know what happens. It's a remake, so.
Feels bad, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's that. It's like, you know what happens, and for them characterizing her like that, it's like kind of like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Like, this, mm-hmm, sucks, because this is such a good character. Like, this is such a well-made character with emotions, with thought, with just everything. Like, this is like a fully realized character.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's a pretty good segue about knowing what happens to characters, because I didn't know what would happen to this next character, which makes this chapter like even more heartbreaking, is chapter 4. I love chapter 4. That's like when we got to meet Jesse's parents.
Oh, yeah.
And understand like what happened to her dad and stuff. And then obviously we know what happens to Jesse. She dies, supposedly. Rumor has it. We'll see. I'm still holding out hope. I'm holding out hope. Ghosts do wild things in games. You know?
Yeah. Well, especially this game. Freaking right? a ghost shows up where he's not supposed to show off Sephiroth.
Right.
So
but anyway, yeah, like, it's just so such a cool scene because it's so I mean, it's a small scene. I think it's only like 5 or 6 minutes or something, but like, you really get to understand Jesse's reasoning for being in Avalanche, you know? So it's just a super neat sequence, and it makes it more devastating than like when they do drop the Sector 7 plate, you know, because like that's where you just were, you know, hours before. So like, it's just a really neat scene. And I think just shortly after that, you meet Roach, which is an awesome character and one of my favorite characters in it.
Really? The added character.
That scene was just wild. It made no sense. I think that's why I liked it. It made no sense whatsoever. Nothing about that made sense.
Yeah, well, I thought it was cool. That was actually the whole point of that scene.
They're just like, how do we make this as flashy as possible? Yeah. Just do that. And they did that.
It was the Advent Children section of the scene. The complete Roach scene was completely added for the remake. It's like, okay, let's just... Again, just throw the flashiest shit ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it's crazy that you mentioned that scene. I was like, okay, like I was looking at it, I'm like, wait, did this, because I played Final Fantasy VII, like, again, in the 2 year, like 2 to 3 year mm-hmm. time frame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, he's not, this guy wasn't in it. I'm looking at the hairstyle, I'm looking at everything. I'm like, yeah, this guy definitely wasn't in it. He's doing all this crazy shit.
Flying around, flipping with his bike makes no sense, but...
No.
For some reason, I like that.
Yeah, like, it's awesome. It's awesome that padding actually added to it. Like, it wasn't like a slow portion there.
Were the bike sequences in the first one? Like, not necessarily that part, but just the bike sequence in general?
Yes. Yeah. But
I actually like that sequence. After, yes. I was kind of surprised, actually.
Yeah, so the bike sequence you do see a few times, but that's later, though. So this is like again, this is still it's adding stuff. It's still in the element of everything that you would see in the original game.
Yeah.
But it's adding stuff. And again, I don't want to go back to the original so much, because this is a full-on, you know, this is a full-on remake. Again, a requel.
Right.
Prequel. No. A prequel? No. Requel. No. Requel. Yeah. Yes, that's the name. That's the name of it. But yeah, the bike scenes were a cool little way to kind of break up the gameplay. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should have done a lot more, because Roach was doing all the crazy shit.
I know. You were just kind of like sitting there like, okay, that's cool.
So yeah, they should have done a lot more. Like, I agree with you. Like, you know, he's just like wild and bombastic, and
like, they didn't hold back. They had no, like, whoever like designed that area, they had no restrictions. They're just like, it was do like something cool.
Yeah, it was like Advent Children, bro. Yeah. Like, let's bring in all this, all the stuff from Advent Children, you know, all the fun action scenes.
It's funny that I did like the riding the bike sections a lot, because I actually, one of the bosses I hated was Motorball. I just thought it was so uninteresting. I have no idea what chapter that is, to be honest. But you're like, I'm pretty sure that's the one where you're just riding on the bike and swinging to one side, slashing it a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Swinging to the other side, slashing it a few more times.
That's like chapter 18.
Like, it's just so uninteresting. Like, it doesn't require that much skill. It's not entertaining. You're just like, dodge the attack, move over, hit it a few times, dodge the other way, hit it a few times.
Well, with Motorball, with Roads, like I said, they could have added like much more things for you to do on the bike, and they actually would have made the fight more interesting.
Yeah, because like you couldn't really do anything but go side to side. You know, you had what, like the one move, like where you like, it's like the one that's like kind of long distance that targets. Like that's the only one you really had, and the spinning one, and that
and
was
the
like
spinning.
It.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. Like that's it.
Yeah, and then it required you to like not accelerate, so you could not get hit by stuff. So it was a weird thing where you didn't have much offensive options, which you
right,
should
exactly.
have. Yeah,
exactly.
Which you should have. And seeing Roach do all that crazy shit, and then like you being on the bike and like, I can't do this much.
The comparison is like jarring.
Yeah. It definitely was. I also liked going back to Roach. I also liked his 1-on-1 fight.
Yeah, just a little bit later in that scene, right? Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. I was surprised I liked it because you had to be really defensive in it, you know what I mean? You had to react a lot more.
Well, the 1-on-1 fights were actually cool when you fight Rufus.
Mm-hmm.
So those were actually like really good. And it actually like shows off what you could do with one character. Mm-hmm. Without paying attention to others, so that's what I mean with the whole like there should have been a Gambit system, because actually you could do some real neat shit like with parrying stuff and but those were definitely standouts,
especially parrying. You can really tell when it was like that. It was too crazy to parry when everything was going crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it was like these duels, like parrying was awesome. It was really cool. Rufus is so cool too, because he's the one that shoots through the coin thing, right?
Yes,
that's so dope. My jaw like dropped. I'm like, dang, that was awesome.
Yeah, the whole, to me, like that whole part going from Genova on, you know, everything was epic.
It was so cool.
And then again you fight Sephiroth, like and that going into Sephiroth now. Before you do fight Sephiroth 1-on-1, well, 1v3 pretty much, not 1-on-1.
Yeah.
But you see, like...
Better way to say it, yeah.
Yeah. That's very disappointing that you don't fight him 1-on-1, but that could have been something. But you do fight him, I guess, 1-on-1 for like a little bit, and then the other join.
Yeah.
But all the previous fights before that, when you're pretty much in nowhere... In pretty much, I believe it's nowhere. It's just like the end of the universe.
Yeah.
So those fights were actually interesting because there were three different whispers there that you fought.
Mm-hmm.
And those three whispers, if you actually look into those three whispers and their weapons... They actually match the Final Fantasy Advent Children characters, Kadaj, Loss, the brothers, pretty much the reunion there. So they match those characters for Advent Children, the weapons. And it's Kadaj, Loss, and Yazoo.
Yeah, Yazoo.
Yes. So... What I took of that is that since the whispers are trying to pretty much correct time, I took of that as those three whispers are actually them trying to correct time so Advent Children can happen.
Or, I mean, maybe not correct time as much as keep the timeline
where it should
be. Yeah.
Keep the timeline where it should be. Because keeping the timeline where it should be, Advent Children happens.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like guiding them toward like their eventual like destiny, quote unquote.
Yes. Yeah. And that's an interesting take because this was not in the original game. Whispers were not in the original game. Again, they're complete whole new entities. Again, because trying to preserve the timeline.
Yeah. So, I mean that like, I guess the ending scenes after that with, who was it? Zach and everything, like, there's obviously multiple timelines, right? That's what they were showing?
That's what the game is hinting on, that we might be seeing more plays with timelines.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we might see characters not die.
So, Jesse, please. So I wonder how in line this is going to keep with the rest of Final Fantasy VII. You know what I mean? Because there's no more whispers, right? Like, I thought you killed them at that final fight, right?
Well, so the thing is, well, here's the thing, because they showed us that, you know, scene with Zach, there, mm-hmm. there should be whispers, more whispers, going by that scene too. Because that's not the correct timeline. Zach dies. So, so I would expect them to come back, some sort of, you know, there's something, there's something there that is not connected. And that's why I say, like, they added those, like, little things with, like, the Advent Children with those three. Where, again, this is just my theory with who those three whispers were. Mm-hmm. From Advent Children, it was those guys. It was Laz, Yazoo, and Kadaj. Trying to, you know, make sure everything stays preserved. That's my theory on it. But if Zack's alive, you know, going by the ending that Zack is alive, then there's definitely more whispers to come to, you know, to correct it. He might not die in the same way.
The plot thickens.
It's one of my favorite parts about it, because it completely sets it off as its own game. That to me makes it one of my favorite things in this requel.
The only thing that sucks is how long we're gonna have to wait.
It's how long we're gonna have to wait, and also what is included in the next part.
Yeah.
Because my whole thing is that this game, there was a lot of padded side quests and missions, because they could have included, honestly, they could have included at least a disc and a half in this version of Remake.
Yeah.
At the very least. But, you know, how they padded Midgar itself, it's also like the side quests, like the unintentional things, some of them are cool. But there's a lot of padding there that really do throw it off in terms of, again, when are we getting the next game, and how long is this next game going to be?
Yeah.
And that's
realistically,
why,
when do you think we're going to actually get it? Like, if you had to take a guess.
I would say 2021. Fall 2021.
I'd be stoked if we got it in 2021.
I feel like it's further ahead than we think. That's what I feel.
I thought they were still storyboarding it at the release of this one.
I feel like we're expecting, you know, we're expecting it like in 5 years, but I feel like it's gonna come like soon.
I mean, my guess was 2022, but I would be stoked if it was 2021.
Well, you know, with everything going on in the world now with the pandemic, it probably might be just 2022. Like, going from my original, like, fall 2021, you know, mid 2022 would probably, or fall 2022.
I think it's gonna be late 2022 is my guess.
Yeah. So I would go there, and even then, I'm very skeptical on what's gonna be included, because, you know, they have to add Yuffie, Vincent, Red 13 as a playable character, Caitiff as a character.
A lot of additions.
Yeah, so it's kind of going to be weird on how they're going to integrate all this. Again, I think the integration and some of the things here are great, but Midgard felt too padded for me.
I just don't get how they're going to do, like, the materia. Like, you leveled up all this materia, and then you have to level it all up again.
Well,
you know, like I'm just curious what they're gonna do.
Well, they could set it as a base. I feel like they could do as a base. Like, everybody starts at like their highest level, in this one, and then they base it off of your highest materia that was available in the first game, and then from there they balance it out in terms of like they scale it. That's like my guess, but
yeah, it's definitely going to be weird since it's all like multiple games now, you know. It's not something they had to worry about in any other previous title. But.
Yeah, but that's the thing for like for me, that's the whole thing, and that's why I feel like this remake, this part should have been longer, and the parts that we actually got should have been reduced. Some of them should have been reduced. Again, chapter 17 should have definitely been reduced. That one had way too many hours for no reason. There's some parts in chapter 9 and 8 that could have been reduced a smidge. And there's some parts even early too, for Jesse stuff too, could have been downsized. No, yes, I know you love Jesse here, but
I do.
Her parts could have been reduced a lot. By a lot. So it's gonna be weird how they blend everything in. With that, like, yeah, for me, I just hope that Remake 2 is actually just the rest of it.
Oh, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm guessing there's going to be 3 total. So, 2 more after this one.
Well, they better find a way to, like, make this... They better find a way to make this into just a 2-parter. Because I think 3 is just too off. Like, it's again, it would make sense if they went with 3, but that's if they add more additional padding.
Which so is probably do you think two? Do you think the next one's going to be on PS5 and 4, or just 5?
I think it's just going to be on PS5.
Dang, that's a huge install base they're going to be losing out on. But I think the same, to be honest. I think the same.
Yeah, I think PS5, and I honestly think it's going to be exclusive all around. I don't think this is coming out on PC. This is going to be like a Metal Gear Solid 4.
It's definitely going to come to PC, I think, eventually.
Yeah, we'll see.
It'd be so dumb not to.
We'll see. This is going to be... I feel like this is going to be like another Metal Gear Solid 4 situation.
They could sell so many copies, though. Additional copies. Like, I'd buy it on PC again, for sure. I'd totally double dip.
Well, it's probably not going to be on PC until the full game is actually, like, the full thing is out.
That could be possible. Like a full package once it is all out. That's definitely possible.
Yeah, but I think this is going to be, like, a Metal Gear Solid 4 situation.
I think everything should eventually come to PC.
Technically.
No reason not to. I mean, especially, like, you were kind of saying, like, after it's all out, like, what do you have to lose? You know what I mean? All you're going to do is make more money, and it shouldn't be that hard to transition, you know? Especially since consoles keep getting closer and closer to PCs anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's definitely for sure. Yeah. And another thing that we did not mention that much, and I want to get into this, just before we get into anything else, music.
Oh, the music's so good.
Yeah, the music. Yeah, it's incredible.
It really is.
The music is incredible. I put it in my top 3 Final Fantasy, you know, ranking them down by music. My top being Final Fantasy 11 and then Final Fantasy 13 too. So it's, yeah, 7 is in there somewhere. It's in the top 3.
Compared to, like, almost any other franchise, like, nobody really comes close to touching Final Fantasy, to be honest.
Well, this game
makes... they're so far ahead of everybody else, it seems like. This game makes it more apparent.
Yeah, this game makes it more apparent, though, because
this
game does a lot of things with original sounds, and it elevates them. It literally, you know, it's literally, like, elevated music evolved nostalgic sounds, and like it's like, wow, they really
so good.
They really encompassed everything of what we used to hear And there's a lot, and again, there's a lot of oldie stuff just getting remastered into the game, but they evolve. Mm-hmm. The sound actually evolves, the sound design. It's just like, yeah, wow. Like the music really gets you pumped for every moment. Every moment is with, you know, with tune.
It's like the just perfect buildup, you know? Like you know something's coming.
You know something's coming. It's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no fuck ups with the music. There's no fuck ups.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
No fuck ups. With the music, also the voice acting, I thought was real good. Again, I emphasized a lot of Aerith because Aerith pretty much felt like she was translated from text to voice efficiently. So, but everybody has like convictions with voice acting. Everybody is, mm-hmm. you know, you really feel it with everybody with their emotions. So they've done a good job.
Yeah. Most games, when there's like a bigger cast like this, like if you're not as good, like you stand out really bad and like nobody stood out like in a bad way, you know, everybody was solid. It was really well done.
Yeah, and then putting that together with the music, it's crazy. It's insane.
And like the visuals, the animation, like it was ridiculous when all that like comes together, you know?
It's insane, just everything about it.
I mean, there's so many ways this could have gone terribly wrong for how long it took them to make this, you know what I mean? Like this could have been an absolute disaster.
Yeah. My only things were the padding.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
And you know, some the small combat things, but again, those small combat things stand out because it's just packaged so well.
Yeah, everything else is like so like really outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something obviously with iteration, because I mean this is like it's like an evolved system from 15 in a way, you know?
Yeah.
This is the first game, like, this system wasn't a game. So, like, I imagine they'll get the feedback, you know, from everybody. Everybody's kind of saying similar things. So, like, hopefully they take that feedback into Remake Part 2.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm hoping as well. Because, you know, they get all those things put together and we might have, mm-hmm. like, the first perfect... almost perfect game.
Yeah.
Almost. In its genre.
Yeah. It's hitting all the right notes. Maybe it stays around a little too long, but it's capitalizing on all that nostalgia for sure. It sounds like, anyway.
All right. And if you have any closing just comments here, anything else that stood out for you?
Yeah. I'm convinced Jesse is alive.
That's. I'm convinced she's not. I don't think we're seeing Jesse anymore.
There was a glove in the final scene, and it looked like her glove. So I'm holding out hope. Might be possible. Other than that, like this really, really makes me want to go try and play Final Fantasy VII, just to see. For comparison, you know, because I don't really have that comparison. A lot of people do. So I think that's why I might be a little bit easier on the game. You know what I mean? Just because I don't have that comparison of Midgar being, you know, a very small portion in the grand scheme of things, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how, like, a lot of people went from the original to the remake. I'll be going to the remake to the original. So, maybe that's, I mean... That game's pretty long, right?
And again,
that'll be a couple podcasts away, you know.
Yeah, that's my big like, and those are my big things with the pacing and the padding. So yeah, since Midgar is just a small portion of the first disc,
it's like a couple hours, right?
Tops. Yeah. It's just a couple of hours. That's so them expanded like this, and again, the padding to me is what throws it off at the end and the grand scheme of things.
I'm definitely excited for that, to go back and play the original for sure. What about you? Any final takeaways?
No final takeaways. I just felt like a lot of elements of remake, and especially with a lot of elements of remake, was pretty much what Square envisioned the game to be. And you can see, like, again, it's picking off from like Advent Children, it's picking off from different Final Fantasy VII
Final Fantasy games, yeah.
Seven resources as well, not just other Final Fantasy VII Final Fantasy games, but other Final Fantasy VII things and lores that Square Enix made over time.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's going to go on with Zack and Sephiroth, because Sephiroth was pretty much in these parts, he's really not supposed to be there. So it's kind of interesting seeing some of these things play out the way they do. So, because that Sephiroth fight was awesome. You really don't fight him in this, like, you know, this early.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things like that where I want to see how the next part, when they do add things, how it all plays out with these, you know, with the conclusion that we got. So that's why, my final takeaway. I just really want to see how everything concludes. Like, how is this really a requel, or did they change it up for the sake of changing it up?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see. Yeah. So that's my final closing there. With Final Fantasy VII Remake. So if you were to describe Final Fantasy VII Remake in three words, what would you say?
I thought it was charming, slightly confusing, but outstanding. Oh. There we go. Perfect.
There you go. Okay.
Put you on the spot now.
Yeah. I was just going to say three words. Good remake attempt. That's how I end it off. Good remake attempt. Yeah, because it's one of the better remakes. Definitely, for sure. Or requel, as the game would like to call it, because of the things that happened in the game, the requel. So
I guess one final thing. One sentence, that's it. That's all you get is one sentence. Do you think it met your expectations based on when it was first revealed?
I think it definitely did.
Nice.
Definitely did. It hit all the marks.
Cool. I'd have to agree.
Yeah, so I guess that's it for our spoiler cast. We gave everything there, so if, you know, there was any other talking point, we're actually going to do this. And this is just, I'm just throwing this out here. This is all unscheduled here in our spoiler cast outline here for you guys. But we're going to go ahead and replay Final Fantasy VII. The original, and then we're gonna do another spoiler cast, and we're gonna do a full-on comparison.
Puts me on the spot.
Yes. So that way, you know, that way we could go ahead and just do a full-on comparison, because this is Seven Remake is more of a requel, going by that, but there are some spots there which do line up. So we're gonna go ahead and do an original game spoiler cast.
Cool.
So
I'm down.
Yeah. So we're gonna get that done, and we'll keep you guys here posted. So definitely, you know, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, also subscribe to us on Apple Music and also Spotify. So. Yeah, definitely just stay tuned. We're going to have this other spoiler cast up for you in the near future. But we're going to go ahead and get that replayed there so we can...
Near
so
to distant future, we'll say.
Yes. Yeah, so we could get that done. So, yeah, just check in with us and... I guess we'll see you next time on our next spoiler cast.
See you later.